Hello and welcome back to Tip TV Finance. I'm here with Alan Green, CEO at Bank of Communications, and by David Buick, who's a senior market commentator at Panmure Gordon. How are you today, David?
Gentlemen, good morning and well.
Good morning, David.
In the circumstances.
Right. Well, what's gone wrong?
Well, I'm getting over it. I'm adjusting. Now, we called it right last week, or we called the possibility right. And the reaction was ludicrous to start with. I mean, 3 o'clock on Wednesday morning with the Dow futures down 300 points and the FTSE down 285, I thought I was coming down from the planet Zog. But at least reality became alive. And I think the thing that I liked so much was the fact that people very quickly sussed out what he would get away with, which would be obviously the tax cuts, particularly the corporation tax down from 35 to 15, and infrastructure. And that will go straight through Congress. But people need to remember that Donald Trump may have a majority in the Senate and in the House of Representatives stroke Congress, but he's got more enemies in Congress than he probably has friends, and he will not get ludicrous legislation.
Not a popular candidate at all.
I'm sure he's loved. But, I mean, the just to dial back on that, the corporation tax cut is momentous. I mean, that's incredible. You'll have a wall of money going back to the US.
You could do, but it'll take 2 years. They won't do it in one fell swoop, in my opinion. They'll do it in two different tranches. But if they stick to that and stick to the infrastructure and actually focus on this is good for business, this creates jobs, this is obviously very positive, and obviously the stock market liked it and has no reason to dislike it, apart from the Nasdaq, because obviously many of the technology stocks he is not keen on Silicon Valley, and that was made pretty clear by investors' reaction. But I think I'd like to comment or ask you guys to comment on the bond market, where I think you could describe the rally in yields in the longer end of the market as being virulent, if not visceral. I mean, gilts 6 weeks ago, 10-year gilts yielded 0.52, and they're now 1.40. And US Treasuries in the same period yielded, I think if my memory serves me right, 1.60, and now 2.22. And that, by any standards, as a percentage increase, is large. And somebody's taken a bath and a good beating around the head. And presumably, the short end of the yield curve is not that adversely affected, but obviously will have some effect on it. Do we really think that we can see the kind of push-up in interest rates, A, officially, and B, in terms of bond yields, that won't actually damage growth around the world? I have my doubts. And secondly, with China, the biggest buyer of US treasuries, the ridiculous rhetoric that's going on about 35% tariffs on this, that and the other, Mr. Trump is going to have to tone down his rhetoric as he has on many other things, because China is absolutely key to the liquidity of the treasury bond market.
I think the first thing with Trump and the rhetoric is that there's such a big line between what he said in order to get elected or what he needed to say, which was, you know, basically pandering to the Midwest's viewpoints, which has been done. Thatcher did this similar thing with the swamping of immigrants in 79, and there's always a bit of that always in the mix anyway, but obviously in America you've got to do it on a bigger scale. The problem I have with the bond market is it feels like calling time on the housing market here. That, you know, the housing market's been going up for the last 20, 25 years, and every year it's like, oh, this can't go any higher, it's got to be, this is it, and it never happens. So the bond market, with the right policy from Trump, I think it might actually, you know, this might be the engine to keep it going another leg. But it has to be admitted, it doesn't look right, it doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good, but the other side of the coin, I mean, just to refer you back, I mean, one of the things we're missing from the business environment at the moment are margins. There aren't any, because there's no inflation. Interest rates are on the ground. Now, I know you'll probably want to hang me from Tower Bridge at the end of this statement, but the fact remains is that if we get a little bit of inflation and if we get some margins for business, that could be very good for business. The one area where it is unacceptable in a normal cycle of the economy is in employment. And unemployment in this kind of environment could go up. But from a business perspective, it may not be bad. In fact, it may be very positive. I mean, I'm a hell of a lot older than you are, Zach, and you, Alan.
If rates go up, then everybody's mortgage goes, you know, exponentially higher. that would be a total disaster. It's like whatever happens, it's almost impossible to get out of this bind. Yeah. Inflation goes up, then mortgages go up, and there's no way we can really win
so,
this.
So many people out there in the property market are borrowed to the hilt anyway, and a 0.25% increase in interest rates would absolutely kill them. It could absolutely destroy the markets overnight. So I think... I don't think there's any room to manoeuvre there.
It's hard to say what the Goldilocks scenario is, or even what you should be wishing for.
No, I'm just saying.
Normalisation would cause a housing disaster or a real estate disaster. And going on as we are is obviously not a great thing either. But we've got the bond. We've got the choice between the bond market crashing, housing market going off, or inflation going through the roof. So whichever way you look, I mean, it's
for 25 years, though, just to give you the way the whole culture has changed. But we didn't borrow so much the rest of it. The average cost of my mortgage for 25 years was 12%. And the only way that I made any money during the course of that time was moving house regularly.
Yeah.
And banking a bit and buying a bit more and doing a bit more.
That was when there was some correlation between salaries and the cost of property.
Right.
And
absolutely,
of course, today,
right.
Today, that's totally... No,
that's my point in saying is, do we really see this bond market going in a perpendicular manner and going on and on and on north? Okay, great for savers. Because there will be some serious baths taken.
You know, I think probably the question to finish this chat on is, if the bond market crashes... Mm-hmm. Do central banks then, are they then forced to raise interest rates, which would then destroy the, you know, would then lead to, you know, all sorts of knock-on negative effects? Is that what
I can't see a single logical reason why, apart from symbolic level, why interest rates could possibly go up substantially in the next 4 years. I think, taking Alan's point,
you know, there's a bond market implosion.
The bond market implosion is, it's there. But on the other side of the coin is, if the liquidity is there, it may not be too bad a thing. That's why I'm saying I think that a lot of these things are interlinked, Zach. I don't believe that Trump really knows what he's saying when he's saying, oh, I'm going to tell China that anything he wants to import to us is 35%, you know, tariff charge. It ain't going to happen.
I think the only way to solve it, because at the root of this, it is the real estate market. The only way to solve this is for financial products to be developed and pushed into the market that give 150-year mortgages. So the cost, the repayments per month go down. So there's their manoeuvre to...
That's got all the hallmarks of subprime lending all over again, packaging them up and sending it to Miss Marley down in Florida, isn't it? I mean, you know, in a £5,000 package.
Yeah, but that's...
I know what you mean by financial engineering. That's what it... Yeah.
It's commonplace in Tokyo. You know, 150-year mortgages, father's on his deathbed, there you go, son. It's all yours.
And don't worry about it, because it'll go to your son as well.
It'll go to your son.
On that note, David Buick, senior market commentator, Pamela Gordon, thank you very much for coming.
Great pleasure.
We'll be back after the break.
Thanks, David.